Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
And today we have two questions that address the issue of star employees. We talk about the star in all of our books.
Yeah.
These are the people who are very bright, very ambitious, and need to move up steadily in their job or really in their career.
Yeah.
The first question involves a situation where one employee tries to mentor a new employee and gets criticized for being too controlling.
Oh.
And the second question is from a star employee who doesn't want to alienate his colleagues or her colleagues in her new job.
Very interesting. You know, stars are such great assets to any organization, but you do have to handle them with care, I think.
It's true. We just got off the phone with somebody who's dealing with a star employee, and they're impatient.
Yeah.
And, they want to move in their career very, very quickly. So they do perceive any kind of a hold up as
you being held back.
Yeah, you can't hold me back. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Logan, what's our first question?
I have a senior position in the marketing department at a technology company, and we recently hired a Harvard MBA with very little experience to join the marketing team. She's very bright, has a lot of energy, and is eager to prove herself. I admire her and have been trying to mentor her. Recently, however, my boss called me in and reprimanded me for being too controlling. Apparently, she complained to him that I was giving too much advice and interfering with her projects. I can't believe it. How do I handle this person now?
Yeah, very carefully. Yeah, she's super aggressive.
Back away from the star.
Yeah, I mean, you have to let her shine or fail.
Yeah.
Just back away. That's the message.
Yeah. So I would just say this is the kind of situation that really can burn, certainly in the initial experience, right, this individual went in with the best of intentions to assist her or his star colleague, and then was reprimanded for it. That's mm-hmm. kind of a tough thing to swallow, I think.
Well, I wonder why he did that.
Assisted?
Uh-huh.
Maybe with the idea of growing the individual. I don't know. Some people like to do that.
Yeah. I wonder what his intention was.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because clearly she felt something else.
Well, we don't know. We don't have all the facts, do we?
No,
we know
don't.
That she was a junior position because she just came in, mm-hmm. and he's in a senior position. So, yeah, maybe it was patronizing. Who knows?
Right.
Chances are he may have also had to train her in a few things in order to orient her to the job. Who knows? But I think what's interesting is the interpretation. First of all, he was not told directly by that individual,
mm-hmm.
Ready to go, back off. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so the experiences that you find out through a punishment situation that you've been too hands-on.
But I still think it's interesting that he's not her boss, mm-hmm. but he still felt the need to be a coach of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder what was he going to get out of that? I think there's two sides to this story. One is certainly the star employee, knows who's above them and who they get their coaching from.
Yeah.
But I just think it's both. I think it's both parts.
So you're saying that the individual should examine his or her motives of why were you mentoring this person?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and were there signs earlier saying, thanks but no thanks? And, something my father once taught me, that don't give advice or don't help unless somebody actually asks you for it.
Uh-huh.
And he could have gone and checked and said, I could really help you with that, but, let me know, come to me. Because, I mean, the fact that she went to her boss to tell on him, I just wonder if he crossed the line.
Uh-huh. That's funny, because what I think is that it was a star helping a star, and mm-hmm. that, like you said, neither one wants to be on the second line mm-hmm. in the situation. And so maybe part of feeling better about yourself, if you are a star, is that you see yourself as a person who trains someone else when they come in. You know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it is, it's a humbling moment. That's all I know.
Right.
When you're told that you're being too controlling to someone who, as you say, does not directly report to you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I have also seen this with other Harvard MBAs. That they come out and they think they know a lot. Uh-huh. And, you know, but that's not your problem. Let them shine or fail on their own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to save them.
Right.
Or really do very much with somebody who's that aggressive.
And now you really don't. Now you need not to.
Absolutely. Do not say a word.
Yeah, what I would say is find your own territory now for shining, right? Mm-hmm. If you've got a star in your office, part of the challenge is then to carve out your territory that you can own, that you don't have to worry about competing with this individual over.
Yeah, that's for sure. I thought you were going to say something, Logan.
Well, I was going to ask, are there individuals who see stars in the office that will deliberately attach themselves to these people as a means to rise up and be seen successful themselves?
Yeah, I know that's not a bad question. Usually, they don't want to work that hard. But
right.
but I think there is some truth to that they want to be on the winning team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so they want to be associated with that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So is that what you're thinking? He did that?
Potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Any possibilities? But what you're learning is that the stage is not to be shared in this case, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're very aggressive in your career and then somebody else arrives and they're super aggressive, even maybe more aggressive than you, it's really, you know, what I find with that is it keeps you on your toes.
Uh-huh.
Like, it definitely shows you where you might be slacking a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though you're probably not a slacker, but, you know, that, and use it for that. That's what it's about. It's
right, to energize yourself again towards your own career and your own accomplishments.
Mm-hmm. But this person really does not need you. I mean, unless they don't know how to find the exit and they ask how to get out of here. I mean, this really, you know, they want to buddy up to who they want to buddy up to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the other thing that's very interesting and very true and hard in the moment to believe is that if this individual overextends herself, that the results will speak for themselves, right? So if they get beyond their competence level, something will happen. So in a way, you have to step away to let the natural organic process take its place. And then you have to focus on your own stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's also interesting, you know, everybody does like the newest and shiniest person that comes in. They think they're going to, you know, be the next great thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, you know, you do have to give her time.
Yeah.
To shine.
That's right. Especially if she's working for a pedestal smasher.
Oh, no.
Quick review.
Well, wait a minute. So should he go and say something? Sorry, I offended you. I certainly didn't mean to. Should he say something?
I think it's worth it. I mean, that's what I'm saying is it's hard. First, you have to go lick your wounds or something. You know, I think in our Working With You Is Killing Me, we'd say go unhook first. Go for a run. Get out what you may be ticked off because you think, regardless of your motives, you thought you were helping the person. Mm-hmm. So I would say first you have to cool down. And then, yeah, go and say, you know, I apologize for interfering or being too controlling, and certainly that was not my intention.
Mm-hmm.
And see what happens from that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm debating of just saying something that if, you know, to work with me, it's best if you come directly to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Going forward.
You know, yeah, come directly to me. There isn't anything I can't hear.
Yeah.
So I would appreciate if you come directly to me next time. And that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing.
And never talk to her again.
I mean, I would be watching my back. I definitely would be watching.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm sort of encouraging this person to find your next territory, because you don't want to get in a power struggle with this individual, mm-hmm. clearly.
But, you know, the good news about stars is that they don't stay that long.
Right, exactly.
They're usually moving on pretty quickly.
That's right. They'll make a stellar exit soon for the next wonderful opportunity.
Someone will grab them for the next great thing. So, you know, maybe 2 years anyway.
Right. So hold your breath for 2 years, find your own territory, and do not offer any more unsolicited advice. That's the key,
correct,
right,
correct,
Kathy?
Correct, correct. All right, we're going to take a commercial break and come back with another question.
If you like this podcast, you might want Kathy and Catherine to come into your company.
Yes, we can come into your company, give a lecture as a lunch and learn.
Or we can be your next keynote speakers at your conference.
Or we can give a webinar, teleconference, or a live interactive workshop.
Choose from a large number of topics, such as dealing with difficult people at work, managing up, the business of setting boundaries, and numerous others. Check out our website for more.
Or just give us a call or send an email. All of our contact information is on our website, ksquaredenterprises.com.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Logan, what's question number two?
You guys talk about that star employee who comes in strong, works hard, and sometimes threatens others by their success. I recently got hired as a junior editor for a large publishing company. How do I find a balance between impressing my new boss, growing my skills, and not threatening my coworkers? I am ambitious and want to succeed, but I do not want to alienate the people I work with.
Aha.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things you can do if you are intimidating is that you can give other people credit. You know, you can take them with you. And you don't have to give them a ton of credit, but, you know, you could just give them some credit and say, you know, I want to thank so-and-so because they filled the paper.
They
did something small, but, you know, don't acknowledge them for something stupid. But, you know, you can take other people with you.
I think that is brilliant.
Yeah. Camping. And then other people will feel much better about you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a very positive thing to do.
Yeah. I was thinking that the other part of this would be to see yourself as part of a team as best you can. Not that you want to look for opportunities to shine, for sure, but maybe this goes along with what you were saying, that if you think of yourself as part of a team, that when you're working on a project, that you go to others for advice and input as well, mm-hmm. just so that it feels like you do care about their contribution and their expertise and their experience.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think one of the ways to impress your boss is to just don't, you know, you don't have to win by bringing others down.
Yeah.
You can win by saying that you're part of a team and that we all pitched in to do this.
Right.
But you be the spokesperson, because the spokesperson is clearly the leader.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is a fine line when you're a star employee. It is a fine line. You will intimidate others.
Uh-huh.
So the best thing you can do is don't act threatening.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What would be a way that someone might act threatening at a new employee? What are just some
of the behaviors? Well, like the one in the last question.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, she went over this guy, you know.
Don't tell on your coworker.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so in order for her to shine, she had to bring someone else down. And couldn't go directly to them.
Right.
So the way, you know, if you know that you're shining, that you're the star in the office,
yeah.
you don't have to rub it in and bring others down. You just don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You can, you know, be very gracious to everyone. You're winning. What is that? That doesn't take anything away from you.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like trusting in your capabilities, in your competence, that you don't have to make others look bad for you to look good.
Yes.
You just do your job, you incorporate others, and you trust that your natural star style, your leadership capabilities will take charge of the show.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, and that's not an easy thing to do, because when you feel that you're intimidating others, they may try to bring you down.
Yeah.
And they may try to sabotage you.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to quickly break that tension.
Yeah.
That's part of the job of being a star, of being somebody who is on a fast track.
Yeah.
Is to not piss people off along the way because of that. I mean, and we're not saying that the other people are not good workers. They're just not on as fast a track as you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nobody likes being run over. Nobody.
Nobody. Or disrespected, you know, not acknowledged for whatever they've been. If they've been there for a while, we're hoping that they're not totally incompetent, right? So there's something, some experience, some capabilities that everyone brings to the party. So it's almost slowing down enough to notice those things as well, what other people might contribute.
And also being humble, just being humble in general, and know that in a day, in any given day, you're not doing this job alone.
Right.
There are other people contributing,
yeah,
and they're doing a good job also.
Yeah.
So just to acknowledge that and acknowledge others, and you know what that old saying about you get further with honey than you do with vinegar. Is it vinegar? Is that it? Is that the saying?
No,
I forget.
Ew.
Oh, you never heard that?
No.
You never heard that saying?
No.
I think you attract more with bees with honey than vinegar or something like that. No, you don't want to get bees.
I can't remember. Right. Is it? Well, it could be bees. But bees produce honey. I don't get that whole. I don't understand. But anyway.
Kill them with kindness. It's a general
idea. Yeah, basically. So you want to be sure that. Yeah, you want to be liked on while you're doing this, and you want to take that threatening thing away. I mean, we talk a lot about that in Mean Girls. There's a lot of women that do want to intimidate.
See, and what I think is so interesting about this is another way we could describe a star is say that this is someone who's naturally competitive with themselves, and so they're competitive in the workplace. So it would feel to your colleagues like they're competing with you. And so what you said before about just getting that sense that everyone can win here and I can still win is a really important part of this orientation, right?
Right.
That then it's not about get out of my way, I've got to move forward. It's more like, here we go. We're all going to succeed here and I'm going to lead it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And everybody still knows that you're the leader of the pack, but they feel good about themselves when they're around you. That's really what you want.
Yeah.
It's, you know, be Ms. or Mr. Positive. Does that sound too flaky?
No, it just sounds, I don't know, funny.
What, it sounds funny? It's, it's too nice, right?
No, I think you could be Ms. or Mr. Positive, Mr. or Mr. I'm tripping
over my words. Go both ways. I've seen the star, you know, be really gracious and
yeah, you can't be fake positive. I guess that's what I'm laughing at. But you have to be true to who you are.
Well, the thing is, it doesn't last long. So that's what I'm saying. A star doesn't stay around very long. You got probably a good year in you of doing
that. I like you for now, and I'm only going to know you for a year. So let's work together. We can do a great job.
Because within a year, I'm going to be so beyond you. And I don't want to give you credit for the stupid little things you do. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to know. A star has to know when to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. But it also probably needs to know how to stay just long enough to get whatever experience you need to get to the next thing, right?
That happens pretty quickly, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you do have to stay for a period. You have to stay at least a year somewhere.
Right. Without burning bridges, you want to You want to be buoyed up by the organization that you serve. All right. So what we're saying here, what Kathy was mentioning, is that you bring people with you. You acknowledge others for what they contribute to any project, any situation. You lead or trust that you're going to be the star, but you do it from a team perspective.
Right. Right.
And then you won't be alienating people.
Hopefully.
What if you accidentally alienate people? How can you tell?
Oh, you know. you know when you've alienated people. Unless they're so good, they're so sweet to your face and just get you in the back.
Right.
Hopefully somebody will warn you. But usually you know when you've alienated people. And if it's something as big as it's just who you are and they don't like it, you know, there isn't much you can do about that. You can try to win them over, but usually you can't do
that.
There
is always that piece. I'm glad you mentioned that. There is always a piece, Logan, that if you have joined a company where the culture is such that very few people produce and you're a producer, it's very unlikely that you're going to be well-liked.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's really true.
Because then you're viewed as a troublemaker. You're making all of us look bad.
Doing the work.
Exactly. You're making us look bad, and you're so good, you know. But I don't know that that's the case at this large publishing agency.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case here.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting dilemma, you know, mm-hmm. when, you know, you're a good worker, you're doing a really good job, and someone comes in who's so aggressive.
Yeah.
And how do you, you know, deal with that person, and how does that person deal with everyone else?
Yeah.
It's an interesting dynamic, and we see it a lot.
We do.
Unfortunately, we see the opposite. Even more, which is someone.
What's that?
Well, someone who was so promising gets hired, and then they come in and they're just a dud.
Yeah,
we see that.
We do, or that it's just not a good fit.
Right,
for the company.
Not a good fit.
That's the most painful thing.
It's very painful to watch that.
Yeah,
it's like being in the wrong country. You know, like I got a different handbook.
Yeah,
I don't
they don't
be
understand
here.
The language.
Right, I've been in that situation. Everybody's been. You know, you take a job where it's just a misfit culturally.
What was the biggest misfit for you culturally?
Oh, just about every job I've had. well, they're no longer in business. I don't want to say their name, but it was a clothing manufacturer, and they made really ugly clothes. I don't know why I went there. But I did. I went and I worked there, and it was a lazy office.
Yeah. They didn't like you.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
And then I became lazy because I didn't like the clothes. They weren't selling. I remember once I took the clothes to a buyer in some store, and I was hanging it up, and she looked at me, and she said, you know, I've known you for a long time. I'm not buying this. This is like, this is really not good. And I just stood there and said, okay, I got to get another job. I got to get out of here. Like, I couldn't sell the product. Mm-hmm. So I froze.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that's really uncomfortable.
But, you know, it was a time in my life when I was going through a divorce and, you know, so it was just a tough time. So
what we call a placeholder job.
It was a placeholder. Yeah. But, boy, I didn't belong there.
Yeah.
Nothing. I just didn't get that. I didn't get it at all.
Yeah.
That was the same place where the guy gave me a wad of cash in an envelope at Christmas and told me to give it to my buyers.
Buy your buyers.
Buy them, yeah, so they'll give
wow.
you business. And so I had to leave after that. That was when I knew, okay, now I got to go.
Yeah, yeah. And so for me, actually, I haven't had that so much, but I did when I was an employment counselor for the senior citizens organization, so for older workers. It was when I would go to the government agencies, and then it was like being on Mars.
Uh-huh.
You know, like they had television sets on their desks.
Really?
I'm telling you.
On their desks?
What were they watching?
Soap operas, whatever, their shows.
No.
Yeah. And when I came, I'd come and, I'd come.
This was prior to computers, right?
There were computers, but they were the big honking kind.
Yeah,
you know?
They were.
So you didn't have a little laptop they had. But still, I believe there are things like that still going on in that environment. And they would say, sit down and wait until I finish my show.
Oh, my God.
So, anyway, I'm very glad I did not work for that agency, but. Mm-hmm. It was an eye-opener. Yeah.
Wow.
I wonder if that still happens. It probably does.
I think things
does.
Like that happen in certain situations.
You know, I was once teaching at a university, and I will not say which one. It was here in New York. I won't say anything else. Maybe I'll slip it in, but I'm not going to say. Anyway, and I had to get my pass. I had to get, you know, I had to go to security.
Yeah.
To get this pass that would let me in the building to teach.
Yeah.
And I got there, and there was only one woman. It was in the evening. My class was in the evening, mm-hmm. and she had just gotten her McDonald's.
Yeah.
Do you remember this? And her nails were really long. Wow. And she would not acknowledge me until she finished her burger. And I just stood there. And I was in her sight. And at first when I got there, I said, look, I just need a pass. And she said, I'm having dinner. And that was it. I had to wait. And then she had to wipe her face, wash her hands, the whole thing before she would acknowledge me. And I was late.
Ooh, that is passive aggression in the highest order, isn't it?
I mean, really.
So that would not be a star employee.
Yeah. That would be a dud.
That would be more like a barnacle.
That was so frustrating. And I refused. I think you taught at the same university. I refused to go to security ever again. And I said, you have to have that pass for me waiting if I'm going to teach for you.
Exactly.
And when I told them the story, they were like, they knew. You know, they were, oh, yeah. Oh, you went to security. Oh, okay, that's why. So everybody knew.
Oh, yeah. Those people. Wow. Those people.
And it's actually a state. It's a state university, and that's all. I'm not saying anything else.
We won't give the address.
By the way.
For the name. All right. So that's it for the star, is it?
Yep. And the non-stars.
And the non-stars. So tweet us your stories and advice about either being a star or working with a star to AskK2. Please review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Vote for My Crazy Office on Podcastland. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.